Yeah. This is exciting. I told Derek when he asked me to speak today, I said, all right, that's cool. I'll do the speaking part, and then you can do the singing part. That was the answer. No. No, not at all. I guess before I get started, my main thing today, your head must be like taller this way than mine. I wanted to acknowledge our graduates, but I didn't want to, you know, just be about graduates. I wanted to be something that can connect all of us in life and in moving on. There's always seasons of life where God places us and has areas for us to grow and to move into next steps where we help other people grow. But there's always steps to take. And in the process of doing so, sometimes we have to go through, you know, pain, hurt. Sometimes it's good stuff. But they're all steps that we take. So I came up with a name for today, and it was Your Next Step, or Our Next Step, whatever we want to call it. For me personally, it's going to be my next step. And the scripture that I'm going to come out of today, it's very well known for most people. A lot of people in the church doesn't even they're familiar with it. It's the parting of the Red Sea. Everybody's familiar with it, right? Yes, it's simple. It's like David and Goliath. But for me, it was one of my favorite scriptures always growing up, because it was a story that stuck with me, and I always remembered the story of Moses. You know, we watched it in Awanas and some Sunday school classes growing up, and it was, you know, he starts out in a basket floating down a river. He comes up, and the Pharaoh makes him his son, and then, you know, he grows up, gets older, and realizes that they're not really his family, so he feels bad, and then he goes off, wanders around in the desert, comes back, and tries to take all of his real family, the Israelites, back into the desert with him. And that's where I'm going to start the story. As I go through this story, I wanted to share kind of, there's some of you, I know the youth who have been around me for a while, they all know my story, but I also wanted to share my testimony or my story a little bit. I've had a, I would say an easy life. My mom and dad grew up in church, and as they got older, they raised me and my brothers in church, and that's why I turned out so well. And then, you know, I've had good role models in life to kind of do life with. My dad's been always been a role model in my eyes. And I'm very thankful that God has allowed me to grow up underneath him. But he's a... After... I guess I'm going to start my story after I got out from underneath his wings, or my mom and dad's wings. I started working in a car wash right out of high school. I actually worked in a couple of them. One of them wasn't too long, because the boss wouldn't let me go on a spring break trip because I'd only been there 2 weeks, so I said, okay, I quit. I called him from the beach and told him that. Yeah, that's where I learned that life was not going to be fun after high school. It's the graduates. I'm just kidding. It's great. So I did that for a little while, and I went and worked Steak and Shake, and then I ended up at a car wash. And the car wash, it was Golden Touch over here on Battleground. I'd worked with another guy there who had worked at the other streetcars with me, and so he knew that I was familiar with the operations and stuff, and I was a good liar, I guess, because they had me selling things, selling the washes and stuff, and I would talk people into things that they had no clue what they were buying. So I did that, and then when I started at the other job at Golden Touch, they automatically just kind of put me in that position, which was great because it was more money. And in the meantime, this church started. It was in 2006. The pastor who founded the church, he decided to call me after a guy, another kid who was my brother's age, told him, hey, I know a drummer who could come and play the drums for like a small youth band or something. So he called me, and I was at the pool one Sunday, and he says, "Hey, you want to come look at our drum set? We need somebody to play the drums at our church." I said, "Oh, that's cool." I said, "No, I'm fine." So I just got back into the swimming pool, and I started floating around the pool a little bit. I was with a friend and some of my family, and I said, "You know what? I'm gonna call this guy back." I said, "I'm getting out of the pool. I'm gonna come on over there." I just dried off and went over there in my bathing suit, and there was finishing up an evening class. I think it was an evening class or something like that. They had a cookout going on or something. So you have to excuse me. I start racing through my words like Derek sometimes, but I'm not as spastic as he is, so we're good. I went over there, and he said, "Hey, come on inside. Let's look at this drum set." I said, "Oh, that's cool." And he said, "Sit down and play for us." I was like, "Whoa!" I mean, there's a group of people just standing around me, and a lot of you are probably going to think I'm crazy when I say this, but I'm extremely nervous right now. I'm this close to having a heart attack. I'm not as bad because I just took some NyQuil, but my throat's been killing me this morning. I've been eating Zicam and Airborne, which Derek does not like because he don't like sour stuff. But I started playing the drums, you know, just messing around or whatever. And then I asked him, I said, "So what kind of band you got?" He said, "Well, right now you're the only commitment we got." It's like, yes. And they had another guy he had been talking to, who he was familiar with from Ready Fort Baptist, because he kind of grew up over there for a little while. And his name was Jason, and he was going to play the guitar and get a few of the girls in the church to sing. So it was a few months later, around June, I think the middle of June, something like that. They were moving from the tent into their first facility, which was at Morissette Paper. We met in the copy room, break room up there, and met there for a little while. We had another guy come in and play the guitar. I think at that point, Forrest, that's when you bought your bongos or somewhere in there, or was that at the middle school? Middle school. So we were there at Morissette for a few months, and then we hopped over to Northeast Middle School, and we were there, and it was a big to-do to set up there because it's just a huge gym. We set up on this actual stage and had the projector and all, and we rigged them. We got permission from the school to put in, like, bolts and set up our own curtain system and whatever, but it was we were there for a little while. We grew, and God blessed us, and we decided, you know, our vision was going to be to get into Reedy Fork Ranch. And almost immediately after they finished building the elementary school in the Reedy Fork Ranch, we were, that January of 2007, we moved in. And I got to be in there for 2 weeks. In the process, from the time that the lead pastor called me up until January, God had been leading me elsewhere. For a while, I was running from God. He wanted me. I knew there was calling for me to work with youth. I got to work with Jenna and Drew, their oldest brother Shane. They wasn't even in youth yet, and Shane, he was him and some of his friends. You know, I got to do youth with them. But I pretty much started a youth group here at the church, and in a few short months, and it. God bless us, man. It grew like a wildfire. And you know, at the time, I was like 21, 22 years old. So I was like, "Lord, I got my hands full. I have no idea what I'm doing." And but he had plans for me. He wanted me to move out to Arizona. My uncle is a youth pastor out there at a church and right outside Phoenix. And he wanted me to come and do, like, work under him, work with the youth some. He was the worship pastor out there and the youth pastor, so there was room for him to kind of step aside and just let me do my thing and kind of grow. But I was terrified. You know, I'm a homeboy, not like a homeboy, you know, at homeboy kind of thing. You know, I grew up, I was telling somebody last night at the supper we had, you know, I grew up not in Brown Summit, but around, you know, the outskirts. You know, we've lived in McLeansville and just outside of Greensboro, but you know, I've always had trees in my yard, and you know, the thought of waking up and maybe being having a scorpion on your ceiling or something like that just terrified me. or cactuses falling or whatever. It's a horrible place. Don't ever go to Arizona. But God had a purpose for me. I put it off. I was dating Amber. This was before we really got serious about stuff. It was just, you know, she really loved me, and she wasn't ready for me yet, and God knew that. I wasn't ready for her yet either. But I told the church, you know, finally, I just accepted it. I said, all right, God, you're going to take me out of here. I'm comfortable. You know, I was making more at the car wash than I'm making now. So I was like, you know, I'm just going to trust you, God, so I'm going to do it. And he took me out to Arizona, and I got to work with the youth, and they are kids out there are spoiled brats. They have all the money in the world. People come to Phoenix because big jobs bring them in, and that means money. And so the neighborhood we lived in, they were just, they weren't really brats. I loved them to death, but they had everything they wanted. This one kid had, anybody familiar with guitars? Gibson Les Paul, stuff like that. He had a $2,600 guitar, and mine I got at a pawn shop. But they had some really talented kids, and I actually got to start a youth band out there, and I had been dabbling with a guitar a little bit, so it kind of forced me to step into a new realm of, instead of being back there and doing the rhythm stuff, you know, I had to learn new finger stuff and guitar, and doing so, I got to sit down one-on-one with these kids who were going through life. One of the kids, he was cutting, and not just like for attention cutting, like I'm ready to get out of here cutting. And in doing so, you know, he'd asked me to come pick him up from school, and we'd go sit right in the middle of our neighborhood. It was two huge lakes, that an East Lake and a West Lake, and we'd go and we'd sit under the palm trees and just sit out there and play. And he would just say, "Dude, this is how my day went," and you know, and you know, there was a moment when I was out there. We actually had our high school small group out there one night, and there was a moment when I sat out there and I'd asked one of the kids to kind of share his story a little bit, and I'd sit out there and I'd look across the water and sand and desert, and you know, they have a few palm trees here and there, but I was like, God, you had so much in store for me, and I fought you the whole time. It's like I get so scared of what's on the other side when all along you know what's better for me. And that's where I'm gonna start with our scripture today. This is gonna come out of Exodus 14. I'm gonna start out and I'm gonna break it up into sections and kind of do a little bit of my story and then a little bit of scripture. It says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." I felt that way when I first moved out to Arizona. I immediately thought I'd made a mistake. Where I was at, it's kind of set up, you are familiar with Reedy Fort Ranch. Multiply it by about eight. There's a lot of homes there. They had their own two elementary schools, a middle school and a high school. They built a grocery store right as I was leaving. But the closest, you know, mart or gas station, you had to drive 12 miles down the mountain. And it was mostly retirees or families at the time who were 35 with little bitty kids. And I was, you know, lower 20s, so it was like, who do I play with? but there again, you know, I kind of got selfish with God, and I said, you know what, you know, I can do this. This is no fun to me. You know, I thought I was going to come out here and be able to, you know, have fun and be a new adventurous part of my life. But he started opening up my eyes, and I started seeing things, and that's when he started putting some of these kids in my life, the guy with the guitar and another guy. He was really good at tennis, and I played tennis in high school, so we played tennis a lot in the afternoons in January and February. The rest of the year, it's way too hot to play outside, so you just flick balls inside. It's Okay, I'm gonna forget I ever started into that sentence because I was gonna go somewhere what's not appropriate. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die?" He said, "Leave us." This is verse 12. "Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die." So many times in life, we want to look at where we're at, get in our little comfort zones, and just, you know, forget about what God may have in store for us. For me, I get stuck in ruts a lot. And some of you, I preached a sermon at the elementary school on a dirt bike, stuck in a rut. That's because I was really trying to pull myself out of rut, and I'm preaching to myself. And I try to, you know, a few weeks ago, I put up the pallets and stuff up here. I'm trying to do new things to make it, just switch it up around here, because it's so easy for me to just pick out five songs at the first of the week, get up here on Sunday and play my guitar and just make it a routine. You know what I'm saying? And if I try to find something, a new way to give y'all a wow factor in a way, I guess, but it puts me in a thing with God where I can say, "Hey, God, how can we do this to really bring people in here and say, you know, I need to feel something." You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times we are so scared to step into that zone with God, a zone of newness, and we're not even able to see the good that God can bring us out of. You know, the Egyptians said it would have been greater for us to die here, or to serve the Egyptians, than to die here. You know, we start serving, you know, for me and my story, I really served the money thing and the worldly things. I loved Amber. I didn't want to leave Amber before I went to Arizona. I loved my job at Golden Touch. You know, I could have done good. I could have made it up to a high-end manager over several stores or whatever. But, you know, I said, "I'm going to step, and I'm going to trust in you, God." And for me, it was letting go of some of the things that can hinder our worship, hinder our life, and the things that we do with Christ. And we take Christ out of our life. You know, the serving the Egyptians, for me, I've found myself serving a lot of the world. I get caught up, you know, when I was at the school, you know, I always wanted to add lights and just fancy things, and I would go through the trouble of building new sets and trying to have huge curtain walls that we had to tear up and tear down, set up and tear down every Sunday. That was way too difficult to get out of my mouth. We had to do it every Sunday, and we did that for 9 years, something like that. And it was fun. But I started just getting involved with the things of doing church, and I lost track of doing church with God. You know, I kind of took God out of the church, and that's not how we're supposed to do life. You know, He created us to allow Him to work in us and move through us. A thing that I really struggle with, and whenever I preach the sermon, or shortly after I preach a sermon on the ruts. You know, I went back and did a study on Exodus, and it really brought out the aspect of the Ten Commandments. And the half of the book was focusing on the first commandment, having no gods before me. And for me, that's what we all struggle with. Number one, that's probably, we all look into do not kill, you know, honor your mom and dad, you know, we lie to them and stuff. But our biggest sin is number one. No gods before me. We can't get past number one. I mean, some of us are sitting here today, we're thinking about, you know, where we're going to eat after church. We're thinking about, how am I going to pay for this? I've got this going on in finances. I'm worried about my job. All that is your idols. You're building these things up in front of God. When we come in here, my prayer every Sunday is that we can come in here and really have no gods before Him. And a lot of times, those things come in our lives, and we allow them to eat away at us. I know that step number two, trust God in your steps. Exodus 14:13-18 says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." I'm going to stop right there. That's in the middle of it. It really stuck out to me. Now it says, God said to Moses, "Why are you crying to me? I mean, why are you sitting here and praying? I've led you." I mean, they've gone through the 10 plagues already. You know, he's shown all these miraculous things. And now Moses is sitting there, "God, what have you done? These people think I'm stupid and they're following me into the desert. Now we're at a dead end." And he's sitting there, "God, why'd you do this?" And then he says, "Why are you crying out to me? Just tell them to move. Tell them to go." Sometimes we already know what to do, but we pray for more guidance as an excuse to postpone doing it. And I'd like to say that was me, but it's not. I put off going to Arizona for, it was about 6 months. You know, that was 6 months that I could have spent out there. I wouldn't change anything today because everything's worked out the way it is. But a lot of times, you know, we need to take a step. We need to move, but we're too scared to trust God that His way is better than our way. You know, I know a guy who was looking for a job, and he put in all these application stuff, and then a job come up, and he said, I don't really want to do this job because I'm gonna have to drive 25 minutes to work every day." I was like, "Dude, that is nothing. I mean, 25 minutes. I know people who drive to the other side of Winston-Salem. Stephen, and you drive, what, 2 hours one way? Hour and a half? Still, that's way too long, dude. I'd have found something closer." And he put it off and put it off, and he ended up getting his job. And within 2 months, there was a job opening right above him, and they ended up moving him up to a position making $114,000, I think it was. And I was like, "Dude," this was a guy in Arizona that was fresh out of college, by the way. But he didn't want to do it because, you know, he'd have to drive pretty much where we were at. We were in Estrella Mountain Ranch, which is a small little mountain, and it's not really a mountain. I mean, we're in higher elevation here than they were. But you had to drive down this way to Phoenix and this way to where he wanted to go, and it was he didn't want to drive to Brown Summit pretty much. He wanted to drive to High Point, the higher end area or whatnot. And a lot of times we put off what we know is good and what God desires for us to do, but we change it out because we have our own preferences in life, or we're already comfortable in life. And he said to Moses, to the Israelites to move, he said, "Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the sea, so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so they will go in after him and will gain glory through Pharaoh and all of his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." For me, I can't really connect with Moses because I don't really know what it's like to perform a miracle. But I know I've seen miracles in life, and I've seen miracles in my life. I've never performed miracles. I've struggled with things in life. I know a bunch of people have struggled with a lot more things than I have. But there's instances that we can't control. My mind keeps wanting to take me somewhere, but I can't do it. It's God. No, we're running out of time. I'm just gonna go on step three. Step now. I've been. I've been back from Arizona now. Came back in 08. I was there for a little over a year and a half. And I come back here. They brought me on as a paid position youth pastor. And shortly after that, the worship pastor left. And they said, will you fill in as doing worship for a little while? Now I am still doing it. But I love it. Wouldn't change it for nothing. I had no fear in coming back home, like I did going out to Arizona. And it was. I learned out there to trust in God. And sometimes we got to be able to see God move in our lives and do something in our life before we do it again. Some of us have seen the miracles happen. Some of us have not seen the miracles happen. Some of us are just wondering, why, how come everybody else is having all this luck, this good stuff happen around them, and I can't have nothing happen to me? How many of y'all feel that way? I see all this good around me. Like my little brother, he sells junk at malls and does good, real good. Like one of the glasses that we were wearing in the video at the start of the service, I mean, I'm gonna tell you, I mean, he pays like, you know, a dollar or pennies for stuff and sells them for $10, $15, $20. So if you go there, don't tell him I told you. But he does good. He's got like several stands at several malls, and I'm like, God, why can't you do something like that with me and let me do something good? And there was a point up until about 3 or 4 years ago when I led my first kid to Christ, and I said, nah, there's my miracle. You know, you start seeing kids change. Ain't nothing better. Exodus 14 says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And all that night the Lord drove back the sea with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land where the waters divided. And the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. How many of y'all been to a lake? Not even an ocean, just a lake. And you know, it's got that nastiness in the bottom if you get off and it's like, your feet sink like that right there. You know, imagine just like something coming through in there and just splitting the water enough, just enough for you to walk through there, but it was really hard and dry. I mean, that's a miracle in itself that there was no water there, but, you know, for it to be dry ground overnight. And then they walk through it. And as you're walking through, I mean, what happened? Oh, okay. As you're walking through, You tend to want to look back and, oh crap, they're coming behind us. And the Israelites, they didn't embrace the miracle as they were walking through. And sometimes you've got to see God on the other side and say, here I come. For me, we're all looking for miracles in life. We're all looking for God's deliverance in life. But our deliverance ain't gonna come until you actually take a step. And I remember a skit that there was this guy named Steven. He was real funny, comical. They always did skits at a church I grew up at, Hunter Hills. And he did a skit one time, and he was in a little box. And he always did this, hi, I'm Steven. And you know, he did this like comical voice and there was a girl had something over here, and he was like, I want it. Can Steven have it? And she was like, well, you got to come and get it. And he was like, I'm in my box. You know, kind of thing. And that's what stuck out to me as I was reading this, or, you know, going through this. And a lot of times that's the way we are in life. It's like, I'm so comfortable. Life is just good right here. And I always tell our youth, you know, they get so caught up in the kids around them. You know, they want to be, you know, the cool kid in class. You know, they don't want to say the wrong thing or say, hey, I go to church, because they're scared of what somebody else is going to say or somebody's going to do. And then I had a girl last week. She said, hey, I talked to a girl at class, and all of a sudden we had a group of girls, and now we're praying before class. It's like, That's what happens because God's good. So a lot of us, we're too scared to take a step. The world has gotten to where we're at because Christians stopped being bold. We want to come in here on Sundays and shout, glory, hallelujah. And then when we walk out, take the robe off and hide it. I'm guilty of it. We have nothing to be ashamed of. If we're ashamed here and now, He's going to be ashamed of us when we stand before Him. All right, come on. Sometimes we find ourselves in a problem and see no way out, and we panic. But God opens a way. God performed a great miracle at exactly the right time to demonstrate His great power and love for His people. I want us all, as we get ready to close out the service, you know, at the first of service, I said we're all broken. And we are. We're here because we're broken people. When we were born, God made us into this human, into His image. And when we take our first breath, we're born sinners. And as we close out today, I want us all to just in our minds, just admit, say, God, I am broken and I need You. Know that there's a miracle that God can use you to perform in your life or in somebody else's life. Whether you're one of these graduates who are getting ready to go off to school, if you're staying here and going to a college nearby or going straight into work, whatever, God's got you planned. Or maybe you're in a job somewhere and you've just, you don't like the atmosphere you're at. And in your mind you think, God, I wish You'd take me out of here. Just find something better for me. Or maybe we can just say, God, give me the courage to share You with those around me. I want us all today, as we close out, to look for a miracle. So today, that means that requires us stepping. All right? And I'm saying I want everybody to come down here and get saved today, because I know we've got a bunch of saved people in here. But I want us all to take a step today. If you're physically willing, I know we can't get everybody down here, but I want you to move in some way or some fashion as we sing this song. Just say, God, I'm going to take that step for You. I'm going to trust You to fix whatever's going on in my life. I'm going to trust You to use me to touch somebody else's life. Or I'm just going to trust You with my life, God. I want y'all to stand up and pray. The rest of the band, come on up. If you just close your eyes. God, I desire to see You. I desire to feel You and to know that You were close to me, God. Just like that song we sang, Fire Fall Down. God, I know more than now, more than ever, that You are alive. You're alive in me. You're alive in this place. And You're alive in those that are in this place, God. And I just pray that, God, that You can give us the courage to be bold. The courage to step out and be changed by You, God. God, perform a miracle in our lives, God, that just shows Your glory, Your greatness in everything that we do, God. God, I pray that You can give those who are here today, God, that need to see a miracle in life, who need to know the assurance that You're going to save and that You're going to fix. God, let them know that You are our Savior, God. God, let us see You and feel You and step. I want everybody to take a step. Say to God, I give it to you, God.